Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
So those of you that know me by now, you know that the only way I can preach is just to lay my heart out there. So here again, once again, I find myself that hopefully you learn a lesson from me, okay? And this is somewhat not the way to do it. And hopefully by the time we're done, you will have received the right way to do it. So Wednesday night, and just put up your hands. Well, no, I won't do that because that would be a pressure. We had refuel on Wednesday nights. And what we do is that's simply just a lot of times Pastor Jay will be on there with one of our other pastors or a guest speaker or someone, and he will just take half an hour to 40 minutes in around there, 45 minutes, and just begin to refuel us. In other words, to encourage us, to build us up, to have a word for a now word in that moment. And so we, on Wednesday night past, got the privilege of being able to do a refuel with Pastor Dorman. Now, those of you that remember back probably a month ago, we did a refuel with the four of us. It was Dorman, Brandy, and Sean, and myself. And Dorman's connection just kept cutting out. And so we weren't able to connect with him at that time. So I said to him, I want to do one with you, but I didn't want to take a chance on the fact that your, the connection wouldn't be able to be understood. And so we came in to church and he sat 6 feet away from me and we recorded, that particular refuel. And so Wednesday night, you want to know one of the weirdest things to ever do is to watch yourself on TV. It is so weird. Not only just, okay, it's hard enough for me, you know, I have walked in, into a place and heard my sermon being played. That's a weird feeling. You know, you walk in and there's your voice, right? And you're like, I don't sound like that, do I? When did I become American? You know, or where did that slang come from? Or what, you know, and all of these things. And you're like, do I really speak like that? You know, and because it's just kind of a weird thing. So Wednesday night, we're sitting down, Karen and I, and we get downstairs and I'm put it up on the TV. And sure enough, there I am. And there's Pastor Dorman. And it starts to play. And I start to do this. I'm squirming in my seat. I'm like, oh, Rod, finish a sentence. Come on, man. Oh, your beard's going to the side. It's kind of weird. You know, I've been trying to tame this thing for so long. I don't want it really, really short, but when it gets longer, it has a mind of its own. It just goes everywhere, right? And so I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden, before you know it, I literally, here am I, ask Karen, I get up and I start pacing around the room while I'm watching myself. And I'm thinking to myself, and what begins to happen is I become my worst critic in that moment. And then, honestly, I had to leave the room. I literally had to leave the room. I had to get up. I went upstairs, and I'm pacing around upstairs going, Lord, make something good of it. Lord, make something good of it. I'm not sure I finished a sentence the whole time. Make something good of it, Lord, you know, in this. And this is what began to happen in this moment. Well, it was all done, and I did come back downstairs for a little while, caught the ending of it. And for those of you that I think we named a few, said who it is, but we had given some prophetic words on that at the end of that particular video there. And I just want to, I need you to hear these things so you don't think you're abnormal. But when we were done, and even after watching, and I'm like, Lord, did we hit the mark? You know, with those prophetic words, did it make an impact on you? Because here's the thing, I don't just want to flap my lips. Come on now, you with me? I don't just want to say things. We want to see impact made. We want to see things. We want to see God begin to encourage people. So in that moment, we're all done, and all of a sudden, I hear the Father. You know, hear the Holy Spirit in a sense talking to me. And this is what he says to me. He says, let me just see if I can find it. Right. I hear the gentle voice of the Father say, you stepped down from your seat and you stopped valuing me. And I'm like, what? Whoa. I didn't stop valuing you, Lord. And then out of my mouth comes, I stopped valuing me. And it was that moment, though, where he began to walk me through and see. And again, this is not about me. If you're hearing that, then you're hearing it wrong in this. In that moment, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me, though, about what it's like to step down from the seat that I had. And that I was beginning to look at that situation from an earthly view. And then in that earthly view, it began to be all about, in a sense, what I was worried about or what I was concerned about or whatever it would be. And I had completely lost my view on what God was doing in the middle of the moment. Now, you may not do that, but if you do those things at times, here is what I began to walk through. Began to walk through this conversation with the Lord about the fact of, and if you want to see, I'm embarrassed right now to be able to say this, but hear me now. He began to say these things to me. He began to whisper these things over me. Even scripture began to come, for you formed my innerwards parts. Psalms 139 and 13 says, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I began to hear the scripture for, we are his workmanship. And then he began to just blow my mind. And one after another, he began to talk to me about the words that we were given and the impact that was going to make. But how many know you still need confirmation? Right? You still need confirmation in that. And so the next day, of course, just the way the Lord loves to work, nothing happened that night. I didn't get one confirmation at all. I don't think I remember. I think I'm remembering that correctly. But the next day, and it's not about that. You have to hear my heart in that. It was about the way I reacted, right? That when a situation happened, immediately I began to view the situation from an earthly, worldly point of view. And I did not view it from God's point of view. And you know, I began to hear him, and this is what I want you to begin to receive even today. You know, if you are feeling distance from you and God right now, do you know that he is whispering your name and he is calling you closer? He is saying you are chosen. You know, when you see that, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 2, 9, but you are my chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And then he says this, his own special people. And we know that we are grafted in with that and that he is speaking to us. Do you know that you're adopted? Come on now, you're adopted. And you know what? If you've never, I have fantastic parents and I didn't need at that moment, I didn't need to be adopted. I was born into this family. So sometimes adoption doesn't have the same impact as it does for others, as it does the word, in other words, as it does for others with me. But when I say that, all I got to think about is if you were alone, and you had nobody to watch over you, nobody to care for you. You were a part of no family and you were by yourself. And all of a sudden the family came along and decided to adopt you and bring you in. And not just if it works out, but brought you in and made you part of the family. What would you act like? What would that do inside of you? It would begin to speak to you about how valuable you are. See, every one of you right now, we struggle with hearing those words about how, you know, you're valuable. But Jesus died for you. Okay, point to yourself. Maybe I'm just preaching to the choir here in this. Jesus died for me. Come on, say that out loud. Jesus died for me. We can never let the principles of the Word of God become mundane to us. We can never let that just become something that happened. That this is something that's happening right now continuously inside of me. That salvation is, I am being changed continuously. But here's the key. This is what I want you to get. Two keys this morning. Believe it or not, I have very, very little notes. Normally I have piles of notes. That doesn't have anything to do with how short or how long this is going to be. But I have little notes in this because I have been just absorbing this all week long since this began to happen. But the Lord, this is what he has spoke to me. When you know you are valued and when you live like you're valued, you will value those around you. But when you feel that you have to fight to be heard or valued, then you will often only value those that are like you, because in turn, you're valuing yourself. Now, let me say that again. I know it's a long thing. But when you know you are valued, and when you live like you're valued, you're able to, in other words, to value those that are around you. You're able to turn to someone that you might even be in conflict with. You might be in disagreement with. And there's a whole lot of that going on right now in our atmosphere. But to be able to look over to somebody in the body of Christ that you absolutely disagree with and say, I have value for that person. Come on now, this is so very important that we recognize that in Christ, and we go beyond all the things we disagree, and I say, Lord, show me. And I begin to speak over that person how much God values them. And when I speak that way, I in turn begin to value them more. Amen? It's something that we begin to put into practice. So let me read the rest of that. It says then, but when you feel that you have to fight to be heard or valued, then you will often only value those that are just like you. Because in turn, by valuing them, you're valuing yourself. But you see, God has adopted us into his family. He has said we have value by doing this. Hebrews 12 and 2, if you've got that passage that I said, don't keep that part open up. 12 and 2 says this, and this is, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Or if you're the New King James, you're probably says, fix your eyes upon Jesus in this. But this version says, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because the joy awaiting him, he endures the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. So just hold that scripture there for a second. I had the privilege, I don't even know how long ago it was now. It's been so long ago that we took our interns. We used to have an internship, a school type of thing here. And this was for adults, for those that had already graduated from high school. And we went to Ottawa. And I had the privilege of being able to go into Parliament and actually go over where the Speaker sits and where the Prime Minister sits. And we were able to walk around and pray and we just really wanted to have the presence of God fill that place. And it was such it felt honored to be able to do that. I mean, I don't know whether I was supposed to or not, but I sat in the Prime Minister's seat. If I wasn't, I'm sorry. Okay. But I mean, we sat there and we were there and we seen. You see, when you think about parliamentary seats, these seats represent power and they represent authority and they represent influence. Now remember that. A seat in parliament represents power, authority, and influence, right? Let's try it again. A seat in parliament represents power, authority, and influence, right? And so those are the things that are there. But when we think then, this is where I'm going to talk to you about the journey that I begin to walk on. The Lord told me at that moment when I began to criticize myself and put myself down in those moments, he said, you stepped out of your seat and you're looking at yourself with a worldly view. You are not in heavenly places anymore. You are not there. You have stepped out and you begin to function in earthly. Now, I'm hoping I'm making sense. Some of you are looking like I have seven heads, so I might need to explain a little bit more. The simple part of it is this. When you think about a parliamentary seat, the person that's there has authority, they have power, and they have influence. And for us, when I begin to read this, look what it says again in Hebrews chapter 12 and 2. The last part of the verse. He says, now he, referring to Jesus, is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus has been given the place of honor beside God's throne. He has been seated. We even know that when it looks over at Matthew 28 and 12, talks about Jesus himself, tells us that he has been given all authority by the Father, and that he later on even talks to the disciples about giving them authority. And so in this moment, this is what began to happen. I began to realize the Lord took me to Ephesians chapter 2. So go over back over to there. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll just start at verse 1 and we'll begin to read. And you, point to yourself, and you, that's you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whose also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh and the fulfilling of the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were all the nature of the children of wrath, just as the others. So this is the past. We all have a past, okay, if we look in this. But I love this. I love it whenever it changes the situation. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And this is the verse. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, this is the key. Jesus, we know that because at this moment, so if you follow the progression, he dies on the cross. He goes through this. The scripture, when you look at it, is but for what he could see. In other words, the salvation that would come to this world, that he endured the cross. And when that was done, he went then, after being here for a while, back to heaven and sat in the seat of authority, sat on the right side of the Father. He was seated in that moment. And then, but this scripture even goes that farther, that what Jesus did for us, now this might freak you out a little bit, but he made room for you there. In that moment, you see, we are in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. If you want to do a great Bible study, go through all of the Pauline epistles and begin to see how many times it says in Christ, and all that Christ has given us, all that Jesus has given us by the power of his death and then his resurrection. But we see then that we are seated with him in heavenly places. So I'm going to have to do a demonstration here. Can you grab one of those seats for me? Just break one of them off and bring it over here, Sean, and go ahead and sit in it. Can I have at least 5 volunteers? Okay, don't run. Okay, right now, you know, in there, help me out here. Give me 5 volunteers. Watch this. Can I have 5 volunteers? Okay, Sean, go ahead and sit in the hole. Can you get me another seat and just put it up top there? Okay, one there and one up top. Okay, Abby's coming. We got 2 at the back. I need 2 more to come, you're going to help me show this example of things. Okay, so here's what I want Sean to sit down in the chair. How many of you that believe that God has blessings for Sean? Right. Amen? You believe that God has blessings for Sean. So Sean, I want you to sit down there. And here's the thing. Do you also know that there's distraction all around us? Things that happen. The enemy likes to put things in our way at times to get us to not see the blessings of God, right? Okay, so I love you all. You are not the enemy, but right now you're going to represent this. Okay. So come up here. And what I want you to do is I want you to surround him as close as you can like this. Okay. So go ahead. Yes. 6 feet. Okay. We're going to pretend. Right. Go ahead. Thank you. I keep forgetting about the 6 feet thing. Okay. So just pretend. Okay. So we're surrounded. Okay. Go ahead. Go over here. So now you're going to have to really use your imagination here right now, because I forgot about the 6 feet thing completely, okay? Because the idea is he can see through, so now it doesn't work at all. Yay! Those of you at camera, we're going to splice this and we're going to change it later. I wish. Okay, so the idea is to begin to pretend with your imagination that he is totally surrounded. Now, if I was to say that, for example, Joe has a blessing that God gave him to give to Sean, I would say that, for example, that many of you others that are scattered out here would have a blessing that God has given you to give to Sean. Now, if Sean is completely surrounded, can he see you? No, he can't. And in fact, he would feel very isolated. He would feel very distanced from the blessings of God, right? Come on now, you got to work with me here. I know it's harder to see. But Sean, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up, and I want you to go. Okay, come on down here. And then Sean, go sit up in that seat up there. Now I'm going to ask you now, even if they were completely surrounding you down there, okay, in here, if you're seated in heavenly places, you can see the blessings of God that are coming your way. You can begin to see God's point of view on a situation. So if all of a sudden your car breaks down and you just like, well, what in the world am I going to do now? And before you know it, you're beginning to think all of these negative things. But if you're seated in heavenly places, you're with the Father and he has a plan. You can see what God's plans are, and you can see what he has to show you from that position. Okay, guys, you can go ahead and sit down. That would have made a whole lot of more sense if I could have completely been able to surround them. But here's what I need you to grasp from all of this is that, point to yourself, God has given me authority. He has given me influence. You see, everywhere you go, you have an opportunity to either see things from an earthly view like I did. All I saw was my beard being off like to the side the whole time. All I saw was the fact that half the time I wasn't finishing my sentences, it looked like to me. All I saw was all these things, and I began to be critical of myself. But in those things, God reminded me that when I'm critical of myself, I'm critical of what he's made. And I have to stop speaking against myself. If you're with me on this, it's what he's calling for all of us. That in those moments, we stop speaking against ourselves. And we say, Heavenly Father, I need to see it like you see it. So after that particular refuel, I got some connections and a few of them. I'm not going to go through them. That's for theirs to say. But to say the least, that Pastor Dorman was so accurate in a few of those things all the things really that he said. But then the few things that we both had said together, it so ministered to so many people that if I would have said to them, I'm not sure it made any sense at all, they would have looked at me like, huh? Because they were impacted in the moment. Can I say this to you? If you're seeing everything around you with worldly eyes right now or with earthly eyes, you're missing out on what God is saying. God has a different movie that he wants to show you. In fact, let me just close with this. If you look again at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then this is his purpose for doing this in verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In other words, in the time to come, he wants to show us his blessing towards us. He wants to show us, the words there are riches of kindness towards us. But the reason we are seated, in heavenly places is so that we can see like him. And right now, if you're sitting there and you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like, God, why aren't things coming together? Lord, why? You got to do something with me. You have to ask them. Say, Lord, what am I seeing right now? Where am I seeing from? Am I seeing from the position of an earthly point of view? Or have I seated myself with Christ in the heavenly places? Now, let me ask you one question before I close. Is this supposed to be, when I talk about the seating in heavenly places, is this just supposed to be something we do every once in a while? It's where we live. It's who we are. So how I recognize that I've stepped down is when my mouth is no longer pronouncing the things that God is doing and is going about to do, but I'm simply stuck in a worldly, earthly view of what I see. But the challenge is this. I'll just read it the way I wrote it here. The challenge is this. How have you been viewing things? Whose movie of your life are you watching? What lie have you believed that has caused you to step down from your seat? You were given a seat with Christ for a purpose. You were given authority. You were given influence. And you were given the power to be able to change people's lives with Jesus. Stand with me this morning. I don't want to hurry this. If someone is available, just to come back and play the piano for a second. Just close your eyes for a second and just shut yourself in with the Lord. This might be a moment where you just say, Lord, have I been seeing things the way you want me to see them? Am I seeing your movie, Lord? Am I watching things happen the way you see them? For some of us, it might be simply, Lord, forgive me because I have been really looking at things with an earthly view. I've been stuck looking at things with an earthly view. So, Lord, I repent of that right now. And I take my position that you've granted me, that you've given me, that you gave your life, Lord, so that I could do this. And that I sit with you. So God, over this next week, I ask for each and every one of us that you would show us the way you see something. So somebody walks by us and they're angry and they're giving us a hard time. They're being cruel or mean. That instead of reacting back or even just beginning with our lips, beginning to accuse them, that Lord, that we would step in again to the place we're supposed to live in and say, Lord, how do you see this? What am I not seeing, Lord? What am I not seeing, Lord? What am I not seeing in their life? How can I be an encouragement to them, even in the midst of this, where they have given me, in a sense, flack or whatever it might be. But Lord, how? Show me, Lord. And as we begin to see the circumstances, the situations happen, and if something difficult's happened, we're just like, Lord, show me what you see. Show me what I can't presently right now see, but show me what you see, Lord, that I will be transformed and changed, and then I can transform and change a world around me. So, Father, I speak a blessing over each and every one that's here right now. And I thank you for a wonderful journey this week of being able to see things differently. I thank you as they seat themselves in you, Lord, fully in you, and say, wow, I did not see that way. And they learn to live from this place all week long. I pray blessing over them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.